talk about activist central banking. We're used to stewards of the economy focusing on inflation and, in some instances, employment, things like that. And sometimes they're accused of going too far. But tackling the price of chili? That's right. Bank Indonesia has played a key role in cornering and breaking up the chili mafia, cartels controlling the price of the spice. Busting these racketeers is essential for managing basic economic life in Indonesia. Why do we care? Well, hold that question for just a moment when Carla Salner, Bloomberg's economics reporter in Jakarta, joins us. I'm Daniel Moss, executive editor for Global Economics at Bloomberg New York. My co-host Scott Landman, an economics editor in Washington, joins us.
Dan, here are a few facts about Indonesia people may or may not know. It happens to be Southeast Asia's largest economy. It's also the world's largest Muslim country. It's even the world's fourth most populous country and the world's third largest democracy.
Okay, so the superlatives just keep stacking up. We know it's important. But what about chili? How important is chili Indonesia? And who is this mafia? Carlos, good to have you. Enlighten us.
Well, hi, guys. Well, first of all, let's talk about how this came about. I was in Borneo looking into, some of the unique ways that the Indonesian Central Bank tackles inflation. And everywhere I went, I kept on hearing about what they were referring to as the Cabai Mafia. Now, Cabai translates in Indonesian into chili. And what they were talking about was, a shadowy group of wholesalers and middlemen who, using illegal cartel practices and collusion, had cornered the chili market. So they were able to manipulate supply and therefore fix prices. And now Balikpapan, where I was, part of Borneo, on the east coast of Borneo, actually, and it imports about 85% of all its food needs. And so to give you an idea of the impact of the chili mafia, the price of red chili shot up in Balikpapan in February to about 200,000 rupiah, or about $15 a kilogram, which was about three times the normal level.
This is kind of outside the normal remit of the central bank to kind of go after a specific commodity. And let's be clear, maybe to some of our listeners, especially in America, we're not talking about the kind of chili that you eat in a dish with ground beef and maybe some cheese on top. This is chili, the spice, the actual chili peppers that are used throughout dishes. Is that right, Carlos?
Yeah, that's correct.
And they're used in, you know, how many dishes do people eat with this spice in it? Is that something that, is in virtually everything that goes into someone's mouth every day there?
It's the deputy director of the Bank Indonesia office in Balikpapan said to me, Indonesians eat chili for breakfast. So you're right. It's in everything pretty much. It's on the tables in restaurants everywhere you go. It's in the sambal. It's in all the foods. And so it's part of the staple diet.
Chili for breakfast. Do you mean in nasi lemak?
In nasi lemak, in the sambal, as I said, which is basically the hot sauce that's served with nearly every meal. It's a key ingredient in nearly every recipe. And it has a major impact on the food vendors who operate what's known as the kaki limas, or which translates into five legs. And it's basically the Indonesian version of a New York food truck. It's everywhere.
Now, having spent 2 years in Malaysia, just across the border from Indonesia, I can tell you that these chili-laden breakfasts are magnificent, and they definitely get your juices flowing in the morning, far more than just a cup of believe it or not, Java would do. So, look, what else, having tackled the chili mafia, what else is the central bank going after?
Yeah, look, there's many examples of the unique ways that Bank Indonesia is, it's fighting inflation. That's at the core of this. They have owls.
So they wouldn't see this as an extracurricular activity at all. This is not overreach. This is core to their mandate.
It's core to their mandate, Dan, because In a country like Indonesia, for the central bank, in fact, fighting inflation is actually their core responsibility. So, they use interest rates to as the main weapon, I guess, in doing that. But that can be blunted by other factors. And so, controlling inflation in a country like Indonesia, which has massive logistics issues, massive infrastructure deficits, is essential. The bank, for example, they pay for owls, which are used in rice fields in East Java to stop rats. The rats, in this case, were eating into crops and cutting production, which again was leading to price spikes. They're involved in other agricultural projects in addressing the supply side of food production in cornfields in Sumatra and seaweed farms on the island of Lombok, cattle ranches in Kupang in the east of the country. And backing all of this up, of course, are the regional inflation control teams that pretty much leap into action when there's I guess sudden price spikes that are noticed. And in this case, it was the Chile mafia.
So hold on a second here. The central bank is assisting in the placement of owls to keep away the rats that are eating the rice that's forcing the price of rice up.
Yeah, look, so as we know, central banks around the world deal with macroeconomics, and I guess this is at the granular level, isn't it? This is microeconomics right down into the granular level, rolling their sleeves up, getting involved in educating people on how to grow crops, grow tomatoes, establish chicken farms. That's what this bank does.
It's definitely something that kinds of extracurricular activities I do not hear about in our regular coverage of the Federal Reserve or Janet Yellen's press conferences or Mario Draghi at the European Central Bank. But Carlos,
so if you listen to some members of Congress, they might as well be doing that.
You never know. Yeah, sometimes the stories can get pretty fanciful. But anyway, Carlos, what I'm curious about is, when you use the term Chile mafia, I wonder, what are the kinds of enforcement methods that these mafias use to control the Chile trade? Are dead bodies ending up at the bottom of the port of Jakarta? Are people's legs getting broken? What are the kinds of criminal methods that are being used that the central bank with its, these kinds of tools are trying to break?
What the Chile mafia and other cartels like it are doing is basically just holding back supply to the market. There's been cases where there's been beef mafias that have been subject to investigation. In fact, in 2015, there was a raid of a number of feedlots because they were holding back thousands of head of cattle, which was again driving up prices. And the TPID, with the regional inflation control teams, they are a collection of various ministries, agricultural ministries, fisheries, the CAPEU, which is, I guess, the equivalent of the Federal Trade Commission in the US, and also the police. They can roll in on these groups and do raids. And in this particular case, they found what the Chile mafia was doing was selling their supplies to big business, to producers of sauce that goes in instant noodle packets. And in Indonesia, the law is that all the supplies of a particular produce must go to market first, so everyone has a fair crack at it. In this case, they were holding it back and then sending it to a place like Balikpapan last. And as I said, this is a place that imports much of its food, so it was really prone to and at the prey of the prone to something like these cartels really taking advantage of them.
So it's interesting, but it's not quite rising to the level of being like the Godfather movie for the Chile trade. It's more of just these companies these businesses are holding back the supply, like you said. So not as juicy, but yeah. I get it. I hear what you're saying.
It's not, but you know what? Perhaps they should take hopefully they don't need to take a leaf out of the fisheries minister's book, Susie Pujiastuti, the fisheries minister. Minister has been known to blow up Chinese fishing vessels and other fishing vessels from other countries caught illegally fishing in Indonesia. So, look, who knows what kind of steps these guys might take to enforce the law.
And is there a Don Corleone-type figure at the centre of the Chile mafia?
No, look, the police told us that they gave us some initials of the people that have been arrested. And there's been arrests both in Java and in East Borneo, in East Kalimantan, actually on the east coast of Borneo. I think 6 arrests. There were 9 companies involved in this cartel operation. But no one specifically has been outed as the Don Corleone, as you put it. But look, this is a constant battle in Indonesia, trying to stay on top of these prices. And look, just to put it into perspective, this is an archipelago that would stretch from New York to London. It's a huge collection of thousands and thousands of islands, and the job and the task at hand is one that's extremely difficult for the authorities.
And is this something that President Joko Widodo, the leader of Indonesia, has gotten personally involved in?
Yeah, well, look, it was Joko Widodo that in August 2015 ordered the investigation into the beef cartels that I mentioned previously. You know, he's been vocal in ordering crackdowns on cartel behaviour because he recognises, and he's a man of the people, so to speak, he recognises that these even small changes in prices really affect the millions of people that in this country, this huge country, still live below the poverty line.
So, Janet Yellen, you thought your job was tough. Carlos, thanks so much for joining us and walking us through your reporting on the Chile mafia and what the central bank is doing about it.
No problem, guys. Great to join you.
So, Scott, this really does put a whole other dimension on the challenges facing central banks. We're used to these seemingly arcane arguments about QE and about the neutral rate of interest. This is really just a whole other paradigm.
Well, you think about our coverage of central banks, and we're so focused on their, the policy meetings, the statements, the speeches that they give. And, often a criticism is that they don't get out enough into the, onto the ground level to really get their hands dirty and what's going on. And that's probably going to be the case, but it is really fascinating to see a central bank in a very large economy really getting its hands dirty like this.
And I was struck by the way Carlos described this as a core part of their mandate. This is not just some financial crisis engineering where they're buying motor company debt. This gets to the very, very heart of their mandate.
It shows that if a central bank is really serious about its mandate, it has to do more than just make the right decisions on interest rates. They might need to go out and take a hammer in some way to inflation in the economy. Maybe Janet Yellen could learn a lesson. For the last few years, we've just seen inflation below 2%. Maybe they have to do something in reverse of the Chile mafia to pump up prices in some way.
That's right. Her challenge is getting it up, not cracking down on it.
Benchmark will be back next week. And until then, you can find us on the Bloomberg Terminal, Bloomberg.com, our Bloomberg app, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, or wherever else you might like finding podcasts. While you're there, take a minute to rate and review the show so more listeners can find us, and let us know what you thought of the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott Landman. Dan, you are at
Moss_Eco.
And our guest, Carlos Salna, is at
Carlos Salna, KARLIS SALNA.
Benchmark is produced by Sarah Patterson, and the head of Bloomberg Podcasts is Alec McCabe. Thanks for listening. See you next time.